if you're in high school, you're a 13-year-old, you're probably still pretty innocent. In middle school, you're an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, but it doesn't matter. They're pushing these items to little kids, like, again, Nox Zajac, and he just happened to have the character to get up there in front of the school board. We've seen the most amount of anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide in our lifetime. I don't think the country's ever seen the rates that we've seen today. The stats are just simply off the chart. I spoke to a number of kids in middle school, and they gave me testimony that the moment they stepped off the bus, their level of anxiety went through the roof because they knew it was going to be all day hypersexualization.
This is Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. The sexualization of children has long been underway in America. Promoted by well-funded organizations, it starts with corrupting children's minds. One of the most powerful weapons in this monstrous onslaught on innocence is books in our public in K and K-12 libraries. How could reading be weaponized against young Americans? And what can be done to make it clean and age-appropriate again? Today, I'm speaking with the great American patriot, Sean McBriarty, the director of special projects with Maine First Project and the host of the Maine Source of Truth podcast. Known as America's most dangerous dad, Sean is a well-known advocate for educational freedom. Sean, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Veronica. I really appreciate the opportunity to be back on New American.
Absolutely. Sean, recently you sounded the alarm on the role of a large nonprofit, American Library Association, in the sexual and political grooming of children. And the nature of your allegations is extremely serious, especially since the ALA is the oldest and largest library association in the world. So let's start by outlining the gravitas and outreach of this organization. In other words, why should parents pay attention to what this organization is up to?
Yeah, and I've got a lot of stats. You mentioned it's the oldest library organization in the world. Actually, they were founded in 1876. And really, we're going to see this is all about a follow the money situation, because the ALA is big business. And as we've seen, this is a big business now for the left. So the ALA is a 501c3 alleged nonprofit with all kinds of tentacles and offshoots. They also have a 501c4. So they basically become a political lobbying machine, and essentially doing that for the far left. So in 2019, some stats, they had assets of nearly $80 million with revenues of $50 million. Yeah. And looking at some of their disclosure forms in 2020, they had $5 million provided in taxpayer funding, $7 million provided in membership dues, and $8 million in contributions. So when you look at the executive director making $250,000 a year plus benefits, with $15 million in salaries and wages, it is an insane, huge organization. 58,000 members across the country, although they're losing some of those, and we'll talk to that later, with 10,000 student members in 13,000 libraries, as stated in 2019. So they have advocates such as American Express, Carnegie Corporation, dozens of publishing houses like Disney Publishing, Simon & Schuster, Penguin, Random House. And they even act as their own publisher. So within the 3 million media impressions they had in 2019, and the conferences and their website and all of the state offshoots, it's crazy. They partner with folks such as GLAAD, which is the used to be called the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation Group. But GLAAD is the group that's pushing gay sexuality alliances in over 4,000 high schools and middle schools in America. And I recently outed one of those in a Maine town just real close to my hometown here. And in fact, the district's suing me because of it. But when you look at the ALA, it has become a huge, huge marketing machine and essentially political narrative for the left.
Yes, and you've been keeping an eye on this organization and its offshoots, particularly in New England and Maine, where you live, for quite some time. Sean, would you please give us examples of events, books, and other practical methods by which ALA is engaged in the promotion of inappropriate sexual materials and other problematic content pertaining to leftist identity politics?
Yeah, and it's really kind of disgusting. I mean, the ALA has had a history of deceptive training. They are working to get pornography, you know, front and center in our libraries. And one of their core values, as stated in their strategic plan, is diversity, inclusion, and equity. Most people call it DEI. I call it DIE because it's really killing our education system. But, you know, they are pushing things such as summer internships for BIPOCs, Black, Indigenous, people of color, you know, white or white adjacent do not need to apply. Essentially, they're a racist company also pushing hypersexualization. They talk about pushing and breaking down this institutional racism barrier, which another narrative for the left. There is no specifics on institutional racism. In 1964, obviously the Civil Rights Act made that illegal. But again, that's the talking points of the left. And one of the things they're really trying to do is push, again, this content, the sexualized content to minors in our schools, starting in elementary school in some cases. And meanwhile, they've kind of forgotten the core, I think, goal that they should have had, which is to help kids read. I mean, that's why we have books, right? To educate our youth. Here in Maine, only 1 in 3 kids can read at proficiency. And so I don't understand how the American Library Association and the head of this, Emily Drabinski, can continue to push these false narratives, these far left concepts, and parents and taxpayers just seem to be ignorant of the situation.
Yeah, would you care to stop and tell us more about this lady, Emily Drabinski? She is the new president of the ALA. She's been recently elected. So how qualified is she to lead the ALA, and what kind of impact on libraries do you expect to see from her?
Yeah, so this tweet that she posted on April 13th, 2022, and then later deleted, says, and this is E. Drabinski on Twitter, "I just cannot believe that a Marxist lesbian who believes that collective power is possible to build and can be wielded for a better world is the president-elect of the at ALA Library. I'm so excited for what we can do together. Solidarity." So myself and others, we've been exposing this really since she put it out. A lot of people still think it's a joke, like it's some sort of meme that we've created. It's no joke. This is what your tax dollars are paying for. And I don't care that she's a lesbian, but she uses it for leverage, right? And she's just another far left social warrior, you know, spelling out her equity and action campaign within the ALA. And she goes on to say in this campaign, "Social and economic justice and racial equity requires that we make a material difference in the lives of library workers and patrons for they have for too long have been denied power and opportunity on the basis of race, gender, mm-hmm. sexuality, national origin, spoken language, and disability." It's simply a bunch of nonsensical garbage. And then she doubled down on that once here in the last number of months. We've had a number of really good journalists exposing this, but she doubled down. So what Drabinski then said to some of these states that are leaving the ALA, "There are more of us than there are of you." You know, a typical sort of far leftist backhanded kind of situation where instead of admitting that she was wrong, she doubles down and still thinks she can get her way. So as David Horowitz said, you know, inside every progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out. That's what Emily Drabinski is, a Marxist lesbian running the ALA.
Yeah, and I found another passage from her campaign. Quote, "So many of us find ourselves at the end of our worlds. The consequences of decades of unchecked climate change, class war, white supremacy, and imperialism have led us here. If we want a world that includes public schools like the library, we must organize our collective power and wield it." Yeah, she sounds like a total Marxist. "The American Library Association offers us a set of tools that can harness our energies and build those capacities." So to me, it sounds like a threat, Sean. How does it sound to you?
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's absolutely a threat. And that's what is kind of interesting is that, you know, because I'm a 225-pound, six-foot middle-aged white guy with short hair, people find my appearance offensive, even though, you know, my wife and kids will tell you I'm one of the kindest folks that, you know, around. But it is interesting. Mostly woke white women in America are pushing this narrative that somehow they have been oppressed for numbers of years. And I don't know if that's sort of the feminism movement has evolved into this sort of trans cultism, which we'll talk about later. But Emily Dravinsky, yeah, she's threatening people in her power, wielding power like a sword or like a weapon. And what she's essentially done is she's weaponized libraries and librarians to push these far left ideologies.
Yeah, this is very, very bizarre, because when I hear the word librarian, a stereotypical image that comes to mind is of a poised person, usually a woman, with a very conservative demeanor. And by conservative, I refer not to political ideology per se, but rather to a high respect for tradition and decorum. And that makes sense for those who are charged with preserving and providing access to a written portion of our unique cultural heritage based on Judeo-Christian values. So why have librarians associated with ALA decided to abandon this heritage and embrace un-American ideas and cultural codes of Marxism?
Yeah, and I think, again, it gets back to follow the money. So this is, you know, a huge organization with a lot of funding. And as it continues, as states and taxpayers continue to fund this nonsense, it's going to continue because, again, it's big business for them. But you mentioned it. Librarians have some of the, you know, most greatest amounts of goodwill and trust in the community. And the ALA stated to the Biden administration, if they really want to spread this equity agenda, which we all know is essentially Marxism, that who better to do it than librarians who are spread out all across the country. And again, teachers only have students for 1 year in most cases. Librarians might have them for several years. And again, what better place than the library to push this Marxist alternative? And I think some of it is getting down to nomenclature. So when you look at, I talk about the word woke a lot. I use that a lot in sentences. And Xi Van Fleet, who I've had on my podcast, escaped communist China, was a librarian. She defines woke as a worldview using the lens of Marxism. And other good definitions, one of them, medium.com, I love this, an unhinged extremist belief system sweeping through our culture, politics, and education. So this has really become a religion in these libraries. It's a cult. It's a little bit of an LGBTQ cult, but it's also this, you know, white supremacy aspect and safe spaces. And it's just, again, this neo-Marxist, neoliberal piece. And I believe that the ALA is essentially like the Red Guard of communist China. There, who is out there really trying to make sure that folks like myself don't have a voice and that parents are not going to hear what's going on. And, you know, recently in their big annual meeting, they spoke about a lot of these situations.
Yes, they did. And one of the topics actually that they discussed was book bans that, of course, they do not approve of. So they said, quote, the unprecedented rise in book bans, book ban attempts at schools and libraries across the country in recent years, particularly challenges against titles by and about the LGBTQIA+, whatever it is, community and people of color. So the ALA believes that book bans go against what they call the intellectual freedom of students to learn more about sex and race. What do you think about this statement?
Yeah, their headline was 2023 ALA annual wrap-up, library workers celebrate diversity, intellectual freedom in Chicago. So again, the ALA isn't worried about the worst academic assessment scores in the history of our country with this generation. We've never seen, you know, again, lower scores. They rarely talk about the 2/3 of Americans who can't read at proficiency. And they kicked off that conference. The ALA kicked off the conference with noted racist Ibram X. Kendi, who said librarians must be freedom fighters, right? So Kendi, whose real name is Henry Rogers, he's nothing more than a poor author. He's a grifter. He's working to divide America based on the color of our skin instead of our content of character. So you mentioned intellectual freedom and Banned Books Week. Both are just attempts to really justify placing inappropriate materials in the hands of minor children. The Biden administration is in lockstep with the ALA. They're pushing these so-called book bans as a political talking point. And in a January 6, 2021 letter to the ALA members, they mentioned the transition to the Department of Education under President-elect Biden's leadership comes at a moment of great consequence, when inequities in the American education system has been exacerbated. We are educators and librarians who believe that this is a moment of opportunity to shape our future of education for a stronger, more equitable, and just society. So Biden is taking measures with the ALA to ensure that minor children have pornography in the classroom, pornography in the library. And when I exposed the 2022 main teacher of the year here, Kelsey Stoyanova, in our local school, in our local middle school, she was pushing the pornographic laden book, All Boys Aren't Blue, to 11-year-olds with prizes and incentives and daily announcements and posters pushing this book on the classroom wall. And once I exposed that, the local main educational agencies all came at me with this educational freedom concept. So it's just gross. These people are trying to normalize sex with children in the classroom. And the book ban is really a wedge that every parent should understand, because first off, nobody I know is trying to ban books, right? What we're trying to say is, if you had appropriate standards in your library and age appropriateness and parental controls, there wouldn't be these books in the library in the first place. And when you mention LGBTQ people and authors, it's interesting that there isn't any straight books that I'm aware of, or very few, if any, that are talking about sodomy and incest and pedophilia and all of these graphic sexual items with children. Meanwhile, those same librarians are kicking out or not accepting conservative books that have a counter narrative.
Mm-hmm. They do not. Sean, you know, it's argued in intellectual, conservative, and academic circles that these ideas of early sexual education have roots in cultural Marxism that views women and children as oppressed groups in a capitalist patriarchal society. And they believe that if women and children were liberated from Judeo-Christian morals, such as norms related to sex, they would somehow be better off. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, what I try to do is say that most librarians in the country probably don't really understand that they are right now pawns for the left. Some I would call useful idiots for the left. They're fully engaged. They just don't understand what they're really doing. But the ALA has given them their mission. And again, the mission is to divide the family unit, divide the nuclear family, and really create conflict. And so it's way easier to govern us in big government if there is conflict and strife. And that's what we're seeing. It's not enough to really be a conservative pushing back on this Marxist agenda. At this point, you almost have to be an anti-communist. And what I say to many people is, like, stop being soft and stop being a soft and gentle loser and start pushing and talking and speaking the truth. I don't advocate violence. I don't advocate pounding the podium. I don't advocate screaming. But you really need to understand that parents have to get to these school board meetings. They have to start doing some homework and really start educating themselves on all of this LGBTQ garbage that is proliferating in our schools with their minor children.
And it is really a garbage. You sent me a clip of a boy, 11-year-old, who read the book, right? And it was extremely graphic, wasn't it? Please tell me about this case.
Yeah, little Knox Zajac from Windham, Maine, unbeknownst to his parents, got up at a school board meeting. The librarian had this book on display. It's an inappropriate book for kids. Again, this 11-year-old innocent child. And he got up and he read from this book, and it was horrific.
I'm a sixth grader. I was in the library, and this book was on a stand. I'd like to read you a page. My back over my hips as I ask if we should take our clothes off. And he's saying yes before I finish my sentence. He's pulling off my t-shirt, laughing when I can't undo his shirt buttons. He's undoing my belt. I'm reaching into his bedside drawer for a condom. We're kissing. Again, we're rolling over. Obviously, you can see where this is going. I don't know if it's because we're feeling especially emotional or just tired, or these past couple of weeks have been too much. But this reminds me so much of the first time we had sex. We were both f***ing terrified, and the whole thing was kind of terrible because we didn't know what we were doing. But it was good too, so good, because we were a mess of emotions. And we were scared and excited, and everything felt new. So this sort of thing, this sort of feels like that. Nick touches me like he's scared at that any minute. Now, this book was at my middle school, and it was on a stand. When I rented it out to show my dad it, the librarian asked if I wanted more and if I wanted a graphic novel version.
And again, the issue really is, this is what's happening. This is what's happening in our libraries. you're seeing all of these banned book and LGBTQ transgender library displays front and center when kids walk in. If you're in high school, you're a 13-year-old, you're probably still pretty innocent. Mm-hmm. In middle school, you're an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, but it doesn't matter. They're pushing these items to little kids, like, again, Nox Zajac, and he just happened to have the character to get up there in front of the school board. Now, I can tell you this has been going on since he got up there for several months, 4, 5, 6 months, and the school board really never addressed those concerns of he and his parents. They essentially, again, go back to this intellectual freedom piece where they say, well, you know, this book is really appropriate for minors and it's teaching them values, and we want to make sure that students can see themselves in a book. Well, again, this whole issue with transgenderism has gone up 4,000% in the last several years. It's really gone up since Biden has taken office and these folks have been emboldened in the schools. So it's really unfortunate that, again, the mission should be the basics of education, but instead mm-hmm. these librarians are pushing pornography to little 11-year-olds like Nox Zajac.
You know, and it harms children too, and it harms them so badly. There are so many studies that establish a connection between early sexual initiation and a range of problems, including STDs, unintended pregnancies that tragically end in abortions, psychological traumas, of course, and even economic hardship. And another concern often unaddressed, and you kind of touched on this already, is how sexual education in schools presents intimacy in a solely biological manner, neglecting completely its deeper emotional and spiritual dimensions. Yet the left would say, good, that's exactly how we want it. What is your perspective on this matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole division aspect, again, the consequences really for some of this exposure is we've seen the most amount of anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide in our lifetime. I don't think the country's ever seen the rates that we've seen today. The stats are just simply off the chart. And again, I believe it's in large part because the normalization of sexuality is something that in years past, you weren't really speaking about or thinking about until you were an adult. And listen, we all went through our teen years. We all, you know, started dating. We all started understanding, you know, the different sexes and those kind of things. But outside of maybe a sex education class that at this point has become just comprehensive sex education, I don't even believe that that's really should be mandatory anymore. Anytime a school teacher, a librarian, administrator is talking to kids about their sexuality, it should be against the law. It should be against the moral fabric of our company, of our country. And again, this LGBTQ war flag has been placed on the walls in various, you know, teachers' rooms, in libraries, out in front of schools. Mm-hmm. And the only flag that should be in there is the American flag. We're all Americans, regardless of our political nature, regardless of our opinions. We should all be here trying to benefit the next generation of young Americans. And it is just horrific what these kids are having to go through. I spoke to a number of kids in middle school and they gave me testimony that the moment they stepped off the bus, their level of anxiety went through the roof because they knew it was going to be all day hypersexualization.
Yes, it's terrible, but there's another concern, and many Americans are seeing this. It's the parents' normalization of pedophilia in America, something that your friend Tucker Carlson called the shattering of the last taboo in one of his recent monologues. Do you believe that allowing adults to have open conversations about sex with children facilitates a culture of sexual grooming and child abuse?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, the American Library Association, you've seen a lot of libraries across the United States, public and school related, do this drag queen story hour. And I always say to everybody, calling them drag queens is too kind. They're really trans strippers. They're groomer clowns. They're performing in female blackface. And to have any parent have a child around a grown man who is dressed in female clothing, possibly on drugs, probably sexually aroused, is just the most idiotic thing that I could think of. I mean, you're a very bad parent if you're bringing your kids to these events. And a couple of things, there was a Rasmussen poll, September 2022, they polled 1,000 people, right? Democrats, Republicans, independents. And it said here, 69% of the folks thought that explicit sexual material and sexual acts should not be in public school libraries. 79% in middle school libraries, and 85% in elementary school libraries. So you see the correlation as the younger child is, mm-hmm. the less they want these books in there. And even for me, I don't believe that a lot of this stuff should be in our high school libraries available for 18-year-olds. If a parent wants to buy these books online, they're available. Again, nobody I know is banning these books. If you want to go on Amazon and buy these books, I don't agree with it, but that's your own parental right. It's the 14th Amendment, right? Parents have a huge piece of their child's education. But the closest subgroup that came to endorsing this explicit sexual depiction of sex acts in school was a group that also strongly approved of President Joe Biden. So 38% of those people said such books should be present in high schools, and those 38% are simply sick in the head.
Mm-hmm. And I believe this is how many Americans actually support so-called President Biden policies. I believe that he has a 38% approval rating right now. So yeah, the correlation is remarkable. So Sean, I know that you have an action plan and that there are alternatives to this garbage. What can parents and older students do to protect themselves and perhaps push back against the ALA?
Yeah, I think the first part is, and I'm still fairly new in my kind of spiritual journey, but I think that parents really need to set a strong biblical foundation, a religious value foundation for their family. Again, it certainly helps to have two parents. But one of the issues really is we believe that the K-12 schools are irreparably broken at this point. That's based on the academic assessment data and a lot of what we've talked about today. So I tell parents they've got to pull their kids out of these schools immediately because they're broken. They need to homeschool them or place them in a Christian school. And I know that's easier said than done. But the other thing that people need to do is really look at sources like booklooks.org. It's a great organization. They've already done a lot of the homework on a lot of these sexually explicit books. I did an entire podcast on them. And the other thing is that we've seen a lot of states, Arizona, South Carolina, Idaho, Wyoming, Georgia, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, and Texas, along with Montana, they're severing their ties with the American Library Association. And I would encourage any state library or town library to do the same. With that, Dan Kleinman of Safe Libraries, he's been doing this work for over a decade. He determined that students, parents, taxpayers, teachers, and librarians really need another choice to the ALA. So he's recently developed the worldlibraryassociation.org, which is going to become a 501c3. You can follow us on Twitter at WLibraryA. And it's an alternative to the woke Marxist library system of the ALA. And again, for full disclosure, I'm a member of the board. There's no financial incentive to me. But really what we're trying to do is provide model policies, trainings, and assistance on political neutrality and common sense to these public school libraries. And we want to try to develop a list and a database of laws like Board of Education versus PICO, which talks a lot about these book bans and trying to do taking books out of school. And then the other big goal that we have in the World Library Association is to stand with parents in the legal battles of defending their children against this horrific content and really helping them with their redress of grievances to the government. So there are hundreds of people working with us now. Every day, more people come on board. But I would certainly advocate for everybody to check out worldlibraryassociation.org as a common sense alternative to the American Library Association.
Sean, I would like to thank you so much for your time today. Please tell us, what is the best way to follow your work?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter and all social media at Sean McBriarty. You mentioned I do an educational podcast called Main Source of Truth. You can listen to that anywhere you download your content. Also, I just started a Substack, so I'm starting to try to get into writing a little bit more. So it's really about exposure. I say that 9 out of 10 parents in my own state of Maine really don't know what's going on in these schools. And until they start to wake up, if they keep funding this monster, they keep funding things like the American Library Association, we're going to get more of this Marxist ideology. And eventually what's going to happen is it's going to rip our country apart. We're starting to see that now. So definitely follow me on Twitter, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak a little bit more about this concept and really some of the changes we're trying to make.
Thank you so much, Sean. That was Sean McBriarty, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. God bless you all. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of The New American Magazine.
freedom is the cure.
You're dead on. This is the largest experiment performed on human beings in the history of the world.
The more you know.
What they're doing is they're forcing vaccination on people, and I believe they are killing people with this vaccination.
The freer you are.
It's murder. They are basically murdering people in hospitals.
The all-cause mortality, we know, is now higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group.
Stay informed on the issues that affect freedom. Get a subscription to The New American today, thenewamerican.com.